clock ticks down on an agreement to curb Iran's nuclear program, which many observers think could come this week. Russia's a party to those talks, but does Moscow really want a deal? Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL. Joining me here in the studio to discuss the things we expect to make news this week in Russia is RFERL senior editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
So this is something we've been talking about quite a bit in the newsroom. An Iran deal appears to be getting closer and closer. Many expect it this week, as I said. Russia says it wants an Iran deal. It's party to the talks as part of the P5 plus one. But if you step back and look at this thing, why would they? I mean, really, Iran is the third leading natural gas producer in the world, but it is the 25th leading exporter. And once sanctions are lifted in the event of a deal and that Iranian gas comes online, it's going to be very bad news for the Russian economy. So, Steve, what do you think? Does Russia really want a deal?
Well, I think you're right. It's going to be the gas issue is bad for Russia. And also, this would decrease Russia's ability to use Iran for political leverage against the United States, as it's been doing for the past decade or more. Obviously, Russia will be looking to make its deals in the energy sector with Iran, but it'll be competing with the West and China for those. And also, it will hope to that an arms embargo will be lifted, which will allow it to sell arms to Iran or more arms. But still, overall, again, it's going to be in competition on those things. So I think overall, it's bad for Russia. It hurts Russia on the world stage. And you do wonder, you know, do they really want a deal? I don't think they do. And I've seen signs in the past during these talks, you know, that Russia may be create hurdles. But on the other hand, they probably can't actually stop a deal from happening if Iran wants it.
Yeah, and they can slow it down. I don't think they really could sabotage it unless they really did indeed want to show their hand. But I wanted to pick up on one thing you noted there, is that they would be unable to use Iran politically in the world. This is something Russia seems to be losing this coalition of the anti-Americans, so to speak. The rapprochement with Cuba has taken that one away. If you have a rapprochement with Iran, it's going to take that one away. And suddenly this coalition of the anti-America countries, if you will, is getting smaller and smaller. And that's another way they could lose big time geopolitically here. I think that Russia really liked having Iran semi-isolated, because Russia was able to do business with Iran. Other people were unwilling to do business with Iran, so Russia had them all to themselves. I don't think Russia likes the full-on sanctions with the arms embargo and the energy embargo and everything else that implies, because that means they, without breaking sanctions, can't do business with Iran. So I think they like that middle ground, but we're not going to have that middle ground. It's going to be all or nothing is what it looks like, no?
Right, exactly. And as you know, it's a good point about sort of losing sort of allies and even the countries in its own backyard, Kazakhstan, Belarus. I mean, they're all in the organizations with Russia, but they're also looking to the West. They're also looking to China. So, you know, it does leave Russia a little more isolated.
Yeah, no, and at the end of the day, if this all comes down to competition, whether it comes down to competition in the energy market, whether it comes down to competition in the arms market, the West basically has more to offer Iran here, no? I mean, Russia would lose that competition, one would think.
One would think. I guess Moscow will hope to at least have some kind of support from Iran, you know, say, look, we've been helping you on this nuclear issue. You know, we've been by your side the whole time. And I think another thing Russia may see is that Iran and Russia and other countries will continue to make problems for the U.S. in the Middle East. You know, supporting Syria and things like that. But again, I think on the whole, it's negative for Russia.
Yeah. No, and it's my understanding that European energy companies are chomping at the bit to start cutting gas deals with Iran, and that'll be a big player coming into that market. Another thing I noticed this week, General Joseph Dunford, who is President Obama's nominee to be the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, he told the Senate Armed Service Committee during his confirmation hearings that Russia poses an, quote, existential threat to the United States. Dunford's comments reflect those of Mac Thornberry, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. He made those comments last month. And last week, Robert Dannenberg, who is the former chief of the CIA's Eurasia Bureau, said in the interview that Putin may well be prepared to use nuclear weapons in a conflict with the West. Now, Putin's been making this nuclear loose talk for a while. The West has sort of been ignoring it and kind of tossing it off as crazy talk. But now suddenly we're starting to see very senior U.S. officials. In this case, the designee to be the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff saying this in congressional testimony. What do you think this points to? What's going on here?
Well, I think, as you say, I think the U.S. officials for a long time had been playing down any threat from Russia, really saying, oh, they send their ships to Cuba, they're talking about, they're just rattling sabers. But I guess part of it is the United States wanting to say, look, we have to take this seriously. Part of it is that Russia seems to be pretty unpredictable these days. And so there may be some real concern there. And as the Russian military always says, well, prepare, hope for peace, but prepare for war and deal with what your opponent's capabilities really are and what they may do. So I think the U.S. is doing that to some degree.
I mean, do you think there's a little bit of gamesmanship going here? I mean, I've long been saying on the blog, on the podcast, and in this space that Russia's playing a lot of psyops with the West, basically trying to scare us into thinking that they're so crazy, so we will back down and do what they want. Do you think maybe the U.S. is playing a little psyop with the Russians here? It's like, you want a nuclear confrontation, baby? You got it. Here goes. I don't think even the Kremlin is up for that.
Right. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. Putin's been allowed to play this game of, one day saying, a war with NATO is unthinkable or something like that. And then the next day, somebody's talking about using nuclear weapons. I think the U.S. is probably tired of that and is trying to take things at face value in a way and say, look, if we don't know whether you're serious, so we're going to take you seriously and, we can give as good as we can get.
Yeah, and if it comes down to spending, I mean, nobody wants another arms race, but the last time this happened, the U.S. was able to outspend the Soviet Union into submission, or into breaking up, essentially. And it's, again, this is a competition, if it really comes down to it, that Russia can't win. All they have is the bluff, and all the West had to do was call the bluff, and it appears the West is calling the bluff right now.
Yes, okay. I agree.
All right. Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast, and joining me has been RFRL senior editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.